Hey everybody, this is Gil and John from the Sync Center. We are glad to announce the commencement and beginning of Sinks and Drinks. A program where we review real projects from both sides of the real transaction, the music supervisor side and the rights holder side. Today, John and myself will be giving an introduction of who we are and what our podcast series entails.
That's right.
John, how are we feeling today?
I'm feeling great, Gil. How are you?
First episode, we got the drink poured
Yes.
up. You know?
What are you enjoying? You look like you're enjoying a drink.
I am enjoying a drink. What about yourself?
You know, it's kind of rainy here in Nashville, so it's actually a hot tea, green tea, which is, you know, a little different than what you're having.
I can't relate. I'm in 90 degree weather in Miami. I'm sipping on a nice
right,
cold.
Right. That summarizes the culture difference between Nashville and Miami.
Hey man, this is what it's about.
Yeah, I'm excited about this.
Well, perfect, John.
Yeah.
So, you know, setting the stage, John.
Yeah.
What's the heartbeat of Sinks and Drinks? And how does it resonate with music enthusiasts and supervisors that are alike in today's industry?
You know, the heartbeat of the vision for Sinks and Drinks, I guess it started pre-pandemic when we just started meeting after hours, after work, and we met at this club downtown and just bringing together people in the sink space.
Absolutely.
Licensing people, producers, supervisors, clearance people, and just kind of talking shop. Wasn't a big agenda. It was just like, hey, let's get people together that are kind of in this universe and talk shop. And as it's grown, you know, we've kind of built this into the community, which there should be a link. We'll put a link below where people can sign up to be part of this and watch all the episodes there. You know, people have been able to jump in from all over the globe. We've got people from Europe. We've got people from Mexico, Australia. You know, either licensing professionals or people that are soon to be licensing professionals. So it's kind of just nerding out about music licensing. You know, from our perspective, we're, you know, kind of on the buy side, the supervisor side. So that's kind of our space. But one thing that never fails to amaze me is just how people work differently. You know, like our workflow and our process works for us, but some people approach it completely differently, different type of music, different workflow. So it's just interesting. And I think it's healthy for the community and the environment to understand the real world workflow of music licensing and not kind of get stuck in, theory and mythology and kind of, you know, it's just kind of showing the work, you know, showing how it works.
So John, like, tell me a little more about, you know, what the hangout really much entail. Like, for example, like, where'd you guys all come from work? Where were you working? What were we talking about? What would we talk about?
The initial Sinks and Drinks, you know, we would be coming from Music Row after work. This was like when Uber just started. And so if you're familiar with Nashville, so you know downtown Nashville and how crazy it can be, like even below Music Row, like Broadway, by the arena, that stuff.
Everywhere.
Crazy.
Crazy.
Like most Nashvillians don't go downtown anymore because it's just kind of inundated with bride trucks where they ride on the trucks and they get drunk and they, you know, scream stuff.
My first 2 years in Belmont, I went to downtown for about 2 weeks and I'm like, not anymore.
No, and then you're like, okay, done. Yeah. See
fun
ya.
To visit, not fun to stay there.
Yeah. No, it's like when you're a first time tourist, that's where you go. You go down to Tootsie's.
Party town. Yeah.
And you smell the beer from 1940s. You know, it's kind of cool and kind of gross at the same time.
No, definitely. At least for me, the transition was crazy from Miami to Nashville. The scene was completely different. Like even from the party scene all the way to the music industry and the people that work there.
Yeah.
It's very different over there. Like in Miami, we have a very fast paced industry.
You do.
And This is not just with music, but this is with real estate. This is with
Everything.
finance, everything. And going over there to Nashville, funny enough, I was talking to an artist that I worked with in Nashville, and he was one of the very few people that I worked with in Nashville that worked very fast paced.
Right.
And him and I were talking about that, it's a little tricky to adapt to going from that fast-paced environment to more of that slower-paced environment, making sure things are nitpicky and corrected. Because, working over there in Nashville, it's very, to a certain point, I like to work efficiently, which is working quick and working with quality. And over there, it's it, it I saw it in a different way, where people were more or less like challenging my integrity and my word. When I say like, okay, I got this done, I made sure everything's correct, and it's like, oh, whoa, you did that way too quick. Like, let's try backtrack and review it. I'm like, but
Yeah, it's a
definitely,
different pace, different pace. It's the South here, you
yeah,
know. So it kind
a
of
little
is
back.
what it is, but I'm like you. I like to move fast and get stuff done. But still at the
Absolutely.
same time, it's about people. You know what I mean? And that's going to be one of the threads through all this is like, look, it syncs and supervision and music licensing is not about just getting transactions. It's about people, relationships, and building trust between people you work
Absolutely.
with. You know what I mean? Whether you work fast or whether you work slow, it don't matter. It's just like people want to work with people they like, you know?
Absolutely. So,
Yeah.
like, moving on to that, funny enough, that topic, people. And, a lot of our viewers are people that we've worked with, and a lot of people we are currently working with, and soon might work with. And we'll call this an audience. So regarding like engaging the audience, who are the dynamic minds that Sinks and Drinks brings together? And what makes the series a must watch for music supervisors, creators,
Yeah.
and rights holders?
Yeah, no, that's a great question. Who's who in the zoo? Who are the players? Who are the actors? What goes on in that workflow? The net-net is that there's the buy side and the sell side. You know, that those are the two main entities that work in music licensing. Beyond that, there's a lot of different types of rights holders. There's a lot of different types of content that is very hierarchical. Like the majors who own the super hits, the super songs, that's where 80%, 90% of the licensing goes, right? Bears are drawn to honey, so they want the songs like Ain't No Mountain High Enough or The Boys Are Back in Town, the songs that, everybody cares about. But that being said, I mean, there's a lot of really good content down market from that stuff that we've never heard of that can be licensed quickly, affordably. So we're going to look at kind of the types of content and hear from different people there. You know, we're not saying one's better than the other, but we just want to understand like the hierarchy of players in this on the content side and then on the supervisor side and the clearance side.
Absolutely.
You know?
And like, John, quick question just for our
Yeah.
viewers here to really understand like what our model is here in the series. What's the buy side and what's the sell side?
Oh, great question. So the supervisor is buying in a sense. Not technically buying, but they're licensing the music. And the content holder, the label, the publisher, the indie artist is the sell side. They're saying, hey, here's my music, use it for your film for X amount of dollars. So yeah, that's important. We don't want to get caught or lost in the semantics of buy and sell, but supervisor is offering money for the music. The rights holder is agreeing to those terms, and so it's buy side and sell side.
Hence the music supervisor side and the rights holder side.
And they're both important. Like I think a lot of times people tend to overemphasize the supervisor side and kind of placate and kneel down before the supervisors, but the supervisors need the rights holders just as much as the rights holders need the supervisors.
Mm-hmm. So for supervisors, like, what can they expect while we're charting our course? Like, where does Sinks and Drinks envision itself in the evolving landscape of music supervision, and how will it shape discussions that may impact the industry future?
Yeah, no, that's a great question. And you know, I think our heart and our spirit is really like, we've got ideas of things we want to talk about, stuff that we know a lot about, but we also want to be open and say, look, if there's something you're curious about, cue sheets. Okay, let's do an episode on cue sheets. So we want to hear, like, if our watchers, if our viewers have thoughts and ideas, go ahead and comment below and post them below on the topics you want to talk about. This is very much a real-time conversation. You know, you and I, we've been going through topic ideas for the last couple of weeks, and I think we've got some really strong topics in there, but we want to be open to, you know, the community having that voice to the conversation.
Absolutely. We want to have everybody here enjoying the drinks, having our virtual conversations.
Yeah. And look, we work a specific way. Other people work kind of the opposite way. So if we need to bring in somebody from Trailer, somebody who does music for trailers, you know, we'll bring in some colleagues and friends who just focus on trailers.
So, like, what can our viewers anticipate from each episode when it comes to Sinks and Drinks, and essentially how will it quench their thirst for insights into music supervision?
That's a great question. I the intent of this and kind of what we've talked about from the beginning, Gil, has been showing the work. Talking about a project, whether, you know, it's a recent project or something we worked on a few years ago, but just kind of talking about how we work. Let's look at a deal review. Let's go through the agreement and review it kind of after the fact and share that out. So what can we learn from it? How do we let kind of our hindsight be someone else's foresight? You know, rather than just talking about, you know, how to get more sinks and how to spam people. It's like, look, let's just talk about the work.
Let's teach the person how to fish rather than catch
the fish. Exactly. Yeah. And that conversation just goes a lot further because we get people reaching out every day saying, hey, I just dropped a single, check it out. And it's like, that's not how we work.
Exactly.
You know? So I think the conversation of showing the work, hey, here's a project we worked on. Let's watch it. Let's listen to it. Let's talk about it. And having an intelligent conversation about real stuff goes a lot further than kind of some of the smarmy stuff that is maybe out there.
Absolutely. Like, John, like, quick question. Have you ever heard of a series that, at least for, you know, more or less on the training side of the industry, that actually shows the real life projects that's happened in the last 5 years, for example, like more or less revealing their secret sauce? Like, I feel like we're doing something great here. Like, why, what's so great about it that it can really help viewers just by looking at these real time projects?
Yeah. I mean, this kind of, yeah, we host this event series called the Sink School every quarter, where we limit it to 15 students, and we work on projects together real time. We collaborate on projects. We kind of go through our process of research, music replacement, negotiations, how to get work, how to onboard new filmmakers, kind of the nuts and bolts of music supervision. And since we started that, it's pretty crazy that we've had hiring managers at Viacom and ESPN and Showtime that want to kind of know who's gone through the Sink School so they can hire them, the hiring managers. So we've put together gosh, I think 80% of our graduates wow. have been hired up to some of the larger cable companies. So that's a pretty cool thing. What is really common in the music industry is this thing called the chasm, where, hey, you've got some talent, you're trying to get lift, but there's this dip in the universe right here. And how do you go from there to here? And it kind of came out of the venture capital world and the startup world. But that chasm is important, right? So that's kind of what we do. We have a training unit called Hacking Music, and we have the Sync School there and Hacking Music and Monetizer. So basically we talk about how to cross the chasm. Like, you've got talent, you've done some stuff, but you haven't gotten lift on your career. That's mm-hmm. what we talk about in the Sync School, of like crossing that chasm with your career to where you can actually get lift and get momentum. So we've been thrilled just from the last cohort, last quarter, that so many people graduates have been hired up through ESPN, Showtime, and Viacom. Mm-hmm. So yeah, that link, we could share some of that too, if that's of interest to people, but that's it's a closed group of people that work over a 5-day period. And it's a really immersive experience that, you know, it's real world stuff. It's how to get good at music supervision and how to solve problems for filmmakers.
It's like a little big issue that we have here in, you know, in the learning institution, in the higher education institutions. It's, you know, there's only things you can learn essentially being out there rather than in the classroom.
Yeah.
And from what it sounds like, we're doing things correctly if, you know, teaching people real world.
Yeah.
Practice.
This one of the big beliefs that we have is this idea of learning and doing. Everybody likes to learn, but we're big believers in doing. Right. Yeah. It's a lot of people are just way too smart and have never shipped anything or worked mm-hmm. on anything. So we Absolutely. Like to flip the script and go, look, quit reading blogs, quit watching YouTube, just work on something, do a project, ship something. Mm-hmm. So work, project, execution, those kind of things. That's what we're about at Hacking Music. And that's what we do in the Sync School. It's like, look, you're going to supervise projects during the Sync School. Stuff that we've actually worked on, and feature films that technically we did not work on, but still they're great learning yeah. experiences for students.
No benchmarks.
Uh-oh. Yeah. Yeah. I mean, it's like, okay, we're one of the projects we're doing this month is the Mark Wahlberg.
Will Ferrell.
Yeah. Will Ferrell. Thank you. One of the scenes from the movie, it's about a 3-minute spot, and we're supervising the spot with some very specific parameters. You know, one of them is, okay, what feels normal and natural, and where would you go intuitively? But the mm-hmm. others are kind of, okay, how do you play against type? How do you kind of not do the obvious thing? And then the third option is, you know, how do you just flip the script and really go left of center, quirky, weird, odd? And we come together and we watch what people have come up with and how they've supervised the scene. And it's really fascinating how different people approach same scene, same dialogue, but the supervision part of it is handled differently. And within the community, it's a great conversation of, oh, wow, that was interesting. I would have never thought of that, you know? Mm-hmm. So those are some of the things that happen in the Sync School.
So you were mentioning music replacement clearances, and, you know, like you just said right now, understanding moods in certain projects. So like when we're navigating this terrain on this mini journey, which diverse and exciting topics will Sinks and Drinks explore, shedding light on the intricate world of music supervision, creativity, and rights?
You know, I don't know if it's super sexy and super interesting. It's just kind of like, hey, this is how it goes down. Mm-hmm. You know, like, okay, for instance, we talk a lot about onboarding new filmmakers and how to become hireable, right? Mm-hmm. So we watch live calls that we've had with filmmakers and the questions they ask and the things they're concerned about and how the supervisor answers those questions. And that's a real, I mean, that's not really sexy, but that's like, that's how you get hired. That's how you make money, right? So yeah. It's kind of sexy, you know? So that, you know, how do you work? How do you, like what a filmmaker called this morning, and we've talked to thousands of filmmakers over the years, and I can tell you exactly their top three or four questions they're going to ask. So knowing what to expect as you're talking to filmmakers and how to communicate intelligently and crisply and, you know, sound like you're, you know what you're doing, because they're technically hiring you onto their project to get their thing across the line. Mm-hmm. Right. So we workshop that in the community. It's okay. Somebody's going to be the filmmaker and somebody's going to be the supervisor. Now we're going to have a conversation and ask some hard questions to find out if this person is the right person that you want to hire. So those kind of things of just workshopping, hiring calls are not something you'd think about, but it's like, that's how you get hired, is by putting them at ease and saying, look, I know your pain, you're frustrated, you've tried to do this on your own, you're making a film that's got an air date in 60 days, you're sweating bullets and can't sleep because the music is a mess, right? Mm-hmm. So that's what we do, is we manage music for media and we help our filmmakers sleep better at night, really, you know, at the end of the day. Yeah. So they can concentrate on being the filmmaker and we can manage the music, the moving pieces.
Definitely.
On the film for them. So that's something, you know, it's kind of just, you know.
It's exciting.
It's not exciting. Real whizzy, but it's like, this is, you need to know how to be hired onto projects.
Mm-hmm.
Right. That's up there.
And I believe that's one of the key takeaways that our viewers are really going to get here, because they already did the first step in this. It's, you know, registering and learning, registering and having that in mind, like, okay, I want to learn real project, real transactions. And with that being said, they're making themselves important here, you know, learning how to make yourself important and more or less like indispensable. And I know when we first met and we first spoke, that's one thing you really mentored me on 100%. Like, how do I make myself important that it's going to hurt them more than it's going to hurt me if they let me go?
Hmm. Yeah.
You know?
Yeah. No, I appreciate you saying that, Gil. And that's important. It's like you a big part of building a career in any vertical is making yourself indispensable, you know?
Absolutely.
So, you know, when we talk about supervision and music licensing, you know, it's when you've done it 1,000 times, you're able to save them money. You're able to move faster. You're able to bring things together in a way that, you know, they love you at the end of the day, because these people, filmmakers, advertisers, branded content, you know, they've most likely they've tried to do it themselves and they're just going into a black hole of nothingness, you know, hitting their head up against a desk, trying to do it themselves. And it's like, look, I would not recommend doing it yourself. You know, you don't want to be legally liable for a film on Showtime if you haven't legally buttoned up all the music on your film. You know, you don't want to be that person. Audi made a big mistake. Pizza Hut made a big mistake. And maybe that's something we could talk about on an upcoming episode. Audi, you know, I think they were sued $3 or $4 million for using music illegally. Pizza Hut, the same thing. And it's like Peloton. I mean, they came to us, gosh, 4 or 5 years ago. And they were like, okay, we're going to launch this exercise bike. And we were like, duh, who's going to pay $4,000 for an exercise bike? We were wrong. But we weren't wrong in the music licensing piece of it. We said, okay, Peloton CEO, you know, if this, anytime you attach music to moving pictures, like, hey, I'm a exercise. I'm on a bike exercising and we have Beyonce music. That's a sync license. Whether it's a theatrical release or whether it's happening in a kiosk on your bike. Mm-hmm. So we said, okay, we need to do a favored nations license for this content, and you need to have their approval. You don't want to use it illegally. And they did not listen to us, and they were sued a couple of years after that for not licensing music correctly. Yeah. So there's a lot of stories like that we could talk about. And just, again, it's having that open conversation, like, okay, here's a project, here's what worked, here's what didn't work, here's how we got it across the goal line, here's how we had to zig and zag to make it work. You know, mm-hmm. if we've got $10,000 for a project, you know, we need to split that $10,000 up across all the music and not overspend mm-hmm. the music. Absolutely. Yeah.
Yeah. So John, like we were mentioning before, the entire, you know, the moral and that rule of thumb, like making yourself important and indispensable. Are we going to be teaching like our viewers as well of how to become protected? You know, am I going to be protected in everything that I do? And how are we going to do that more or less? Because we were mentioning the companies and such and making sure that companies were aware of certain things, and sometimes they don't listen.
Yeah.
But at the end, I believe it all starts with us.
Yeah. I mean, we'll be talking about that for sure. The legal liability components of it. What is our process? How do we work? How do you research stuff? How do you negotiate with the right people? We'll be talking about that for sure. If somebody's interested in kind of going deep on that, then they can look at being part of the Sync School coming up next month. Maybe we could put a link below on that, where we're workshopping it together and doing, you know, if we're licensing Thin Lizzy songs, you know, okay, we need to negotiate with the correct entities. So that's one of the projects within the Sync School. So yeah, we'll be talking about that. And if somebody wants to, you know, become a pro at it, then, you know, happy to have them apply for the Sync School.
Yeah. And so, you know, these couple questions, they were very on fire. So mm-hmm. let's cool down a little bit here. So, you know, one thing that, you know, we've been receiving a lot lately is that people have been asking is, who are we? Like, who are the masterminds behind Syncs and Drinks? And, you know, what drives your passion for uncovering the nuances of media and music collaborations?
Yeah. Yeah. Well, you know, from our perspective, you know, we've been licensing music since, gosh, Dawson's Creek was the first thing we licensed music for. And back then we were producing music. Every 3 months we'd produce a different record, write mm-hmm. the record, produce the record, mix the record, move on to the next record. And a mentor friend of mine, John McCullough, who was supervising Dawson's Creek at the time, he did the 70s show, he did Wanda Sykes show, bunch of different shows. This is back in the MySpace days. And he was like, hey, I really like this song of yours on MySpace. You know, we'd like to use it in Dawson's Creek. We were like, oh, that's interesting. Well, so this song is making money, not just making the record, but now, I mean, it's been sitting on a drive collecting dust, doing nothing, and now it's going to make money again. So that idea of kind of relicensing music kind of is like, oh, I like that. That's an asset, right? That's intellectual property. So that was a big light bulb for us. And then I guess around that time, a friend of mine at BMI, who's the head of general licensing, said, hey, John, I know you're doing some stuff here. We get calls at BMI of people who are making a film or working for Subaru or Microsoft or whatever, and they need help in supervising their project. And at the time we were like, man, I don't want to do that. I want to be the creative genius and make the record and be in the studio kind of thing. But after about, gosh, 10 or 11 months of that, he called three or four times asking the same thing. I was like, yeah, sure. I'm happy to talk to him and see what's up. And so we just kind of listened to the market. And these are people that are trying to do the right thing. They're trying to pay people. They're not trying to break the law, right? They're trying to use this piece of music legally. So when I understood that, I was like, okay, well, I mean, we can help manage that process for them. We know a lot of people in the industry to do that. And the first couple projects kind of imploded on the runway, but we started figuring some things out. I mean, the first time we started, I think it was 97. And we started figuring it out. And now we've got it, you know, after two implosions, you know, we quickly put a process in place to kind of manage supervision for advertisers and filmmakers. So that's kind of our story, you know, and we've been fortunate to work with Microsoft and Kesha and Macklemore and tons of Whitney Houston, Michael Bolton, Elvis, blah, blah, Garth Brooks, you know, so we've been, that's kind of been our story. You know, we started in production and we kind of went to the other side in understanding the pain points that, hey, these people are trying to do the right thing. You know, we can help them get it across the goal line.
I've seen it the way, at least from the past year that I've, you know, I finally joined a team. Our big thing is that we more or less, we go from challenges and issues to solutions.
Right.
And I feel that a lot of the things we address, they're real challenges that the industry faces today.
Yeah.
And, you know, moving on.
I mean, tying into that, Gil, I mean, it's like, we're kind of like plumbers. Like when a filmmaker's going to Showtime in 60 days, that filmmaker's toilet is overflowing. And they need somebody to fix their toilet today.
Yeah.
So when we get hired on a project, you know, we're helping them stop the leak in their house, you know, and kind of help them get it to Showtime in 60 days. Absolutely. Kind of thing. So yeah, it's a problem solution kind of mindset for sure.
Yeah. So like my next question is like, what industry challenges does Sync and Drinks address, and how does it guide our viewers toward effective solutions through shared experiences and expert insights from you?
Yeah, no, that's a great question. And I think Sync has become this real sexy buzzword. And with any buzzword that brings with it a lot of kind of mythology and a lot of talking heads who like to hear themselves talk, who maybe have never worked on anything or done anything in the real world. So you've got some bad actors who are, they do a lot of these listening sessions and play pitch to a supervisor kind of thing. And that, look, nothing wrong with listening sessions and pitch sessions, but it really doesn't help the musician. Like I've never heard of a listening session where someone, a supervisor goes, oh, I want to pay you $50,000 for that track. You know, it just, so there's a lot of kind of bad actors out there, maybe taking advantage of musicians is the right way to say it. So, you know, I think our spirit and our tone and our energy is like, we're just going to talk about projects. You know, here's a project we worked on. Here's how we problem solution. Here's how we got it across the goal line. I think that's a helpful place to be that is maybe underserved and under that voice isn't really common.
Yeah. So like speaking on, you know, crossing the goal line, scoring the touchdown, scoring the goal,
mm-hmm.
What pivotal moments and like milestones have shaped the history of Sinks and Drinks, and how does it contribute to our mission today? How are we going to train the journey here?
Yeah. Well, I mean, we're just a supervision company out of Nashville. And now with you coming on board, we're going to be opening up the Miami branch of the Sync Center, which we're really excited. Yeah, we'll be announcing that soon. But, you know, we're not here to change the scope and landscape of music licensing. We're just here to kind of tell our story and to keep helping our filmmakers. So beyond that, it's, you know, who knows where it's going? I mean, obviously AI has a lot going on that's going to affect the space. Obviously streaming has impacted it significantly. More and more channels are coming on board that are licensing music. So those are part of the stories that we'll be telling, you know, Peloton, you know, Maker Music, what was their story like? Netflix, Prime, Hulu, Disney. I mean, there's just a ton of new networks coming on board, and people need music that matters to people. When they hear it, they resonate with it and they connect with it. They're not interested in music that nobody's ever heard of. You know, if you and I put together an EDM dance track right now, so what? You know, it's like there's a million tracks like that in music libraries. So why compete for $2, you know, when you can compete for $20,000? You know, that's a much more interesting conversation. I mean, we're going to talk about the work we do and the people we work with, and bring on some guests who have compelling stories as well.
Yeah. And the big thing, like you just reminded me, it's we're here. It's not necessarily we're just showing off our tricks.
Yeah.
You know, we're telling real life stories that we've had. And it brings me back to a conversation I had a couple months ago. Funny enough, speaking on Miami, like I was having a conversation with DJ Khaled one time. Mm-hmm. And I told DJ Khaled, I'm like, I was a little excited to see him because, you know, he's a great producer, great people person as well. Mm-hmm. Relationships to the max, and he knows what he's doing. And I asked him, I had like 10 minutes to pick his brain, and I'm like, what should I ask him? And the biggest things, at least, were how'd you know what was going to be a hit? And he told me, he's like, look, going into the studio, I was just thinking what I felt this day. Sometimes it would come out like bubblegum, like he says, but I've had more pitfalls than I have had hits.
Totally.
When it comes to my music. And one big thing that he said that stuck with me is they know the glory, not the story. Mm. And I feel like we're trying to change that here in Sinks and Drinks, and showing what the Sync Center has done and what we will be doing in the next year, in the next 3 years, in the next 5 years for the future.
100%. Yeah. I mean, it's an exciting time. It really is the golden age for film and new content. I mean, whether it's on YouTube or theatrical releases, there's more and more filmmakers making important, compelling work. And every one of those filmmakers needs a supervisor to ride shotgun with them to handle the music swim lane for them. They can handle the film swim lane, but they need help on the music licensing and clearance swim lane.
It's like my father says once in a while when he bugs me about it. He's like, what you don't know now, you'll pay later in dollars.
Right. Yeah. Your dad sounds like a wise man.
Yeah, once in a while. But I still love him. He's my father. But
that's great.
Gil,
thanks for being a part of this, man. I'm excited about where we're going. So if anybody, if our viewers have topic ideas, they can leave them below. If they have a guest that they want us to bring on, they can tag them below. And if you want to sign up to be part of the community and have access to the full series, there should be a RSVP link below as well. But this was a great episode, Gil.
Yeah. That's, and like, this is something that it's, who knows where it's gonna go. That's the little exciting part about it. Our topics are not necessarily set, but I'm excited with these little conversations that we just had now. It's like, ooh.
It's fun.
So,
It's fun
yeah.
stuff, man. I'm excited about it.
So, thank you all for joining us at Sinks and Drinks.
Thanks,
We're
y'all.
dealing with John from the Sink Center, and we've had a blast diving into these real projects from both angles of the industry, the supervisor side and the rights holder side. We hope our discussions have been as enlightening for you as they have been for us. If you enjoyed this episode and want to stay updated on our future ones, don't forget to follow our link below to see our full series or in real time on the first and the third Thursday of each month at 1 p.m. Central or 2 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. Feel free to leave comments, like John said, requests for future guests, or any specific topics you'd like us to explore in upcoming episodes. And remember, this show thrives on your engagement. So spread the word and share the Sinks and Drinks experience with your fellow music enthusiasts and industry peeps. So until next time, keep the tunes flowing and keep the drinks pouring. Cheers, John.
Yeah.